chapter 6 of the book of Numbers, reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in the which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it, and on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles and two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hallow his head that same day. And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering, but the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. Now just a couple of verses, Second Book of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So may the Lord bless to us this reading of these portions of his word, and perhaps you will remember that during these past 2 weeks that I have ministered the Word of God, the theme has been essentials for pleasing God. We considered in the first place the absolute need of obedience. We're going to think this morning of the need of complete separation. If we're going to please God, there can be no dangling or entanglement with the affairs of this life, or the world and the flesh and the devil. There must be complete and absolute separation unto God. As Paul was thinking of it in Timothy there, we read, you're called to be a soldier. Called to be a soldier. That means to say that our life as a Christian is not a picnic. As a soldier, we have a commander and the need to be absolutely obedient to him and pleasing to him in our daily life. Called to be a soldier because we're engaged in a warfare. The Christian life is not a picnic, it's a warfare against the flesh, against the world, against the devil, as these three spheres of temptation and trouble come upon us in our daily life. A warfare. And as soldiers in a warfare, we have a commander to be fully obeyed, a commander to whom we yield ourselves in devotion to fulfill his pleasure and his desires. And so let us remember this, that as Christians, indeed, our life is a warfare. We are called to be soldiers. Now that means that we can't go on pleasing ourselves, doesn't it? Just living as we like. We have a commander to whom we must obey and to whom we must yield ourselves in our daily life and service. And so, in this essential for pleasing God, this essential of being completely separated, we must consider ourselves indeed as those who are engaged in a warfare and must be absolutely separated to our commander, obedient to him, following his likes and obeying his desires. Now this was set forth very clearly in the Old Testament in this vow of the Nazarite. The Nazarite was one who was entirely and absolutely separated unto God. And I want us to consider this for a while, this vow of the Nazarite, insofar as it applies to us as soldiers in this warfare in which we are engaged. There were three essential requirements with regard to this Nazarite vow. Three essential requirements towards himself, towards others, and towards God. The first requirement was that he was to drink no wine or strong drink. He was to deny himself that in every way. That was an essential requirement for the Nazarite. He couldn't sit down at the table and help himself to a glass of wine. That was entirely forbidden him. It was an essential in his life that he had nothing to do with such. And notice the totality of it, as it mentions in Numbers, where we read of the Nazarite, that from the kernel to the husk, he was to have nothing at all to do with the vine. It wasn't just a matter of forbidding himself for a while to have a glass of wine. But in totality, he was to be separated from it altogether. From the kernel to the husk, nothing to do with the vine of any kind. An absolute, complete separation. And then there was another thing that applied not only to himself, but to others, insofar as it was made visible to others in his life. He was to let his hair grow. He wasn't to call in the barber to shave his head or to cut his hair. No. He was to let it grow. That wasn't going to be an easy thing. To be a laughter of his mates. Oh, yeah, what's the matter? Yeah. Have you been to the barber? Can't you afford it this week? No, he would be mocked, no doubt, and he would be laughed at. But this was one of the essentials of his vow as a Nazarite, to let his hair grow. No matter how much it brought him into positions of disgrace with others, laughter and mocking, yet he was to let that hair grow and not cut it or shave his head. Then there was a third thing. Not only to keep from vines, not only to let his hair grow and not shave, but he was not to be defiled by death. Now this might be a very difficult thing. Supposing his mother died, his wife died, or any other of his relatives died. Oh, what could he do? No, he was to have nothing whatever to do with it. He mustn't defile himself in any way by being linked up with death. This was the essential toward God. If wine, keeping from wine, was the essential with regard to himself, and letting his hair grow and not be shaved or cut was an essential towards others, they might know full well that outward expression of his inward devotion. But with God, to his relationship with God, he was not to defile himself in any way by death, no matter who it was in his family who passed away. And think what a terrible thing that must be. His wife, whom he loved, who'd lived with for years, takes a sickness and dies. Oh, what could he do? No, he was to have nothing to do with it at all. It would defile him. It would defile his Nazarite vow. And he could not be holy before God. So there we have the three essential requirements of the Nazarite. And let us remember that the Nazarite vow was one of entire and absolute complete separation to God. And the three essential requirements was, in the first place, with regard to himself, to have nothing to do with wine. With regard to others, he was to be prepared to be laughed at and mocked because he didn't shave his head. That outward sign of his inward devotion, he was to be glad of and not be ashamed of. And then in regard to God, he must cut himself off in every way from anything to do with death. Now as we think over these things, I'm sure that we can feel for that Nazarite who takes upon that vow, especially with regard to the non-attachment, anything to do with death. His loved ones pass away. No, he couldn't have anything to do with it. And that was a tremendous thing, wasn't it? I'm sure each one of us, as we think of that, can sympathize with the Nazarite. Now these three things, essential to the Nazarite, are essential to any believer today who wants to live a life of complete separation unto God. There are three words in this narrative of the of the Nazarite that I want to bring before you. In verse 12 of that passage we were reading, it says, "And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation. Consecrate. That's the word I want to deal with, dwell upon. That was one thing that characterized this separation, this Nazarite vow. He was to consecrate the days of his separation unto God. Well, what does it mean? Well, it was an act determined. He couldn't play with a thing like that. He had to consecrate himself. That is, to yield himself entirely and dedicate himself and all that concerned him. Dedicated to God. He couldn't be a Nazarite otherwise. It was a determinate act of yielding himself to God. He shall consecrate the days of his separation unto the Lord. What do we know about that? Consecration. Absolute dedication. The yielding of ourselves in every particular, in every way, yielded to the Lord. Do we know what that means? I remember in my own experience, years and years ago now, when I was exercised very much about the matter of dedicating my life to the Lord. I had been converted, as most of you probably know, when I was in the flying corps in France during the First World War. And then when I was demobbed from the flying corps and came home to England to the normal civil life, I was very exercised as to how my life was to be lived. And through fellowship with others in the assembly where I lived, and in the reading of one or two books that had been given to me, I became very definitely exercised about the yielding of my whole life to God, dedicating my life to Him. And I remember travelling by train on one occasion. I was in a carriage all to myself, a carriage that usually seated 10, but there was only me there, and the train was a fast train that was going straight through to the town of my destination without a stop, and so it meant that I couldn't get anybody else into that carriage again, and there I was alone in the carriage, and oh, how the Lord spoke to my heart, bringing before me the need of absolute dedication to Him. And as the train went on and bumpety-bumped and bumpety-bumped over the rails, it just bumped into my own heart, until I could do no other than get down on my knees in that carriage on the train on its way, and just yielded myself absolutely to the Lord. I didn't know what it was going to involve, of course, in those days, and perhaps that is what is the biggest problem to any of us when we come to the point of yielding ourselves to the Lord. What will happen? I little dreamt at that time that I was going to find the Lord pushing me out to China as a missionary. But there it was, in that train, bumpety 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 bump, as it rattled over the rails, the Lord bumped into my heart the need of absolute dedication to Him. And the Nazarite, it says, he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation. Consecration. What do we know about that, friends? In our daily life, are we truly yielded to the Lord? Are we consecrated to Him? dedicated to do what he wants us to do rather than what we plan for our own lives. Consecrate the days of his separation to the Lord. That word separation is another one that is used several times in this record of the Nazarite vow. Separation, separation. The days of his separation. All the days of his separation. He shall eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernel to the husk. All the days of his separation. What do we know about that? Separation is to be an attitude adopted. As consecration is an act to be determined on, so separation is an attitude that is to be adopted. Do we adopt that attitude of separation from all, from the kernel to the husk, everything included? Those words speak to my heart. It's so easy for us to think that we're fully dedicated to the Lord when we're still holding in our hearts something or other of our own way. From the kernel to the husk, everything included. He had to be separated from it all. Do we know anything about that? Separation from the life of the flesh, the natural life, our own way. Oh, how we get mixed up, do we not, often? Perhaps it is through the radio listening or the TV. Things that lead us back to that old life of the flesh, the natural life, from which we have to be separated. All the days of his separation. Not 5 days a week, but 7. All the days of his separation. 2 or 3 times that is mentioned. All the days of his separation. His separation had to be absolutely and entire. With no blotting out halfway through. All the days of his separation. An attitude to be absolutely adopted. And then in verse 8 it says, all the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. That's the third word I want to emphasize. Consecration, an act determined. Separation, an attitude adopted. Holy, a state maintained. Do we maintain that state of holiness? Not only is the separation to be complete from the kernel to the husk, but he is holy all the days of his separation. Not 5 or 6 days a week, but 7. All the days of his separation is holy unto the Lord. That is to say, that attitude of holiness has to be maintained day after day, day after day. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. All these things exercise our hearts, sure. As we meditate upon them and think about them, search our own hearts as to how much we are fulfilling them. Let us remember that this is one of the essentials for pleasing God. If we know nothing of this separation, then we can't be pleasing to the Lord. Not only must there be absolute obedience, but there must also be total separation to the Lord in all our daily life, every day, all the days. And holiness by that separation is to be maintained. That's what Paul meant when he spoke of Timothy as being a soldier. He was under command, engaged in a warfare. Do we realize that in our own lives? The soldier can't get entangled with all sorts of things when he's in a warfare. He has to be obedient to his commander. He can't please himself. And that's what Paul meant, surely. A life that is depicted for us here in the Nazarite vow. A soldier engaged in a warfare under a commander to whom there must be absolute devotion. How do we shape up to that? How much is it true of our lives? Let us remember that these things are written for our learning. Paul wrote that under Timothy, not just for Timothy, but for you and me today. Moses wrote that of the Nazarite vow for us too today. Are we true Nazarites? Have we yielded in absolute separation to the Lord? Or are we still being mixed up with one thing and another in our daily lives that entangle us with the things of the flesh? Oh, may the Lord help us to know what it is to give ourselves entirely, to consecrate ourselves to the Lord in full and absolute dedication, complete separation unto him, from the kernel to the husk. Oh, remember that word. From the kernel to the husk, it will be nothing, no part that is to be taken at all. Absolute, complete separation. The Lord help us thus to be true Nazarites, separated unto the Lord, consecrated to him, living our lives and maintaining that holiness which he tells us is ours through our separation to him.